Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. The Holy One burn in me. Your words like a fire burning in my soul. Burn out the dross, bring forth the gold. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me, Lord. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. You feel like a fire shut up in my bones. Consume me, Lord. Make me your own. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me.
With all of my heart,
I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. Holy is your name. Less soul,
more
self-control, more of you in my life. Less soul, more self-control, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. Holy is your name. More
love,
more power, more of you in my life. More
love,
more power, more of you in my life. Panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. And you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
One more time, you guys.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary.
Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your sweet spirit that's filling this house this morning. Lord, talk to us today. Speak to our hearts. Reinforce your word and your ways in our lives. Open your word today, Lord, that we might be receive. Open our hearts and our minds that we might understand. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, everybody. First of all, I want to thank Brother Joe Ferguson for preaching last Sunday. They gave me an extra week to work on my sermon, which means it may have given me an extra week to ruin my sermon. I don't know. Oh, well, we'll see. I have a lot of scripture, and it's hard to ruin scripture as long as it's read right. So we'll see. How's everybody doing? Springtime. The calendar doesn't say it is, but We hear those doves cooing and springtime. Don't you just love quartzite this time of year? Jimmy Carter, I don't know when it was. I've read it several times on the internet, something he said. He said that if Jesus Christ were around today, actually he is, isn't he? But he said if Jesus Christ were around today, then he would approve of abortion and homosexuality. He claims to be a born-again Christian, but yet, well, I don't know. There is a pastor in Weed, California, that recently posted something on his reader board outside his church. It said, Bruce Jenner is still a man. Homosexuality is still sin. The culture may change, but the Bible does not. It created quite an outrage, and members of his congregation fired him. Where are we? A.W. Tozer said, we cannot afford to let down our Christian standards just to hold the interests of people who want to go to hell and still belong to a church. There's a feed on Facebook. It's called Babylon Bee. It's a satire site. But they posted something the other day that actually could be very true. It said, a woman unsure why she needs Jesus after preacher spends 30 minutes telling her how amazing she is. Do we from the pulpit pamper people too much? Well, I don't think I'm going to pamper you today. We're not supposed to be comfortable, are we? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's every day. William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, said the chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, morality without God, and heaven without hell. I'm going to focus today on two things from that list. Two things that we need to fully understand. We need to understand the meaning of both of them. I'm not going to say too much about forgiveness and salvation. They get talked about a lot, and they need to be talked about a lot. I'm going to talk about two other things on that list that don't get talked about enough. One of them is repentance, and the other is regeneration. Repentance, the R word. Nobody likes to hear that. We just want to coast to the finish line, don't we? When I was a child, my family used to like to go to drive-in movies. We would load up our car with as many people as we could get in it and go to the carful, 50 cents carful. You remember those? I wish they'd bring them back, actually. Well, there's no movies they're making that are worth watching, really. I remember one time, it was in the early 1960s, we went and we saw a movie called Barabbas. Does everybody know who Barabbas was? He was the one that was supposed to die on the cross that Jesus took his place. They were to release one, and the people chose Barabbas. And in the movie, it doesn't say this in the Bible, we don't know for sure what the outcome of his life was. But in the movie, according to Hollywood anyway, it really impacted him to see somebody else dying on that cross where it should have been him. But that's us, isn't it? He died for us. Barabbas means son of the Father or son of fathers. Bible talks in 2 Timothy about having a form of godliness but denying its power. What does that mean? That means acting like a Christian, but are we really? Are we really living the life of a Christian? You know, just because Jesus died for you doesn't necessarily mean that you're saved. It's not automatic. There's a choice that has to be made, a choice to put away the old and receive the new. Do we presume on God's forgiveness? Sometimes we do. Actually, sometimes we can go the opposite direction too. People can think that because, you know, they've asked God so many times to forgive them for one particular thing that they keep doing, that he's not going to listen to them anymore. And that's just as bad too, isn't it? What is sin? How does God see our sin? Those innocent little things we do, or those really bad things we do? In Isaiah 1:6, it says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's how God sees our sin. C.H. Spurgeon said, no sin, whatever it is, shall ruin any man if he shall come to Christ for mercy. Repentance. Our opening scripture today was, the first part of Psalm 51. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read probably all but the last two verses. Says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clearer when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken and a contrite heart. Repentance. What does it mean? means to change your mind. And change your ways. It means to turn and turn again. To turn from something and to turn to something. Do the things that we do that break God's heart, break our heart too? And don't think for a minute that the things we do don't break God's heart. In Ezekiel 6:9, he talks about how the children of Israel, their idolatry, he was crushed by it. Crushed or broken. I mention that verse a lot. Because when I read that verse, it really had an impact on me when I saw the full meaning of it. The idea that something I could do would have that effect on God. I know He doesn't like the things we do. But to be crushed by the things I do? Why is that? It's because He loves us. He loves us that much. Bible talks about travail. That's an interesting word. Think of childbirth with it. But that's the way our salvation is supposed to be. That's the way we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's supposed to be travail. It's supposed to be like birth pains. It's supposed to be so deep inside us. Repentance. Repentance must be real. The mere promise of it won't work. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. If we don't take our salvation seriously, why should God take our salvation seriously? Repentance must be entire. Every sin. Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Forsake his way and his thoughts, his actions and his thoughts, the things we do, the things we think. Because the things we think affect God the same way as the things we do. Jesus said, if you lust after a woman in your heart, it's the same as the act. If you're angry enough to murder somebody in your heart, that's the same as if you did it. He calls that murder. Just thinking it. Repentance must be immediate. No waiting for a more opportune time. Well, I'll wait till next week to do it. God doesn't say that. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, today while it's still called today, harden not your heart. Today. If God wanted you to do something next week, He would wait till next week to tell you to do it. Repentance must be heart and soul, not just surface or superficial. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart, tear your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." Tear your hearts and not your garments. They used to, when they mourned or when something happened that affected, they would tear their clothing. God said, don't do that. Tear your hearts about the things you do. Repentance must be perpetual. throughout the remainder of your life. Matthew 3:8 and Luke 3:8 talks about bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance, producing fruits worthy of repentance. Many years ago when I was living in California, and I'd moved out to Calaveras County, and I was going to college on the GI Bill, and I got a job at a car wash to help supplement the income. And the same day I started, a man named Bob Evans started. And first day I met him, he showed me a picture of what he used to look like before he went to prison, and he looked like Charles Manson. But he, this was Stockton, California in the summertime. Anybody been there? It gets warm there. It gets hot there. And this is at a car wash, which is the heat is very, makes it even more uncomfortable. But he was wearing a long sleeve shirt, buttoned all the way up to his neck, a dark long sleeve shirt. Why? Because he was doing penance for the life that he lived. That's not fruits worthy of repentance, is it? Because that's relying on yourself. Fruits worthy of repentance is that which happens in you, that you do because you've been changed. There's two types of repentance. There's legal repentance and there's spiritual repentance. Legal repentance is the fear of the punishment of sin. Spiritual repentance is the fear of sinning. You don't just not do something because you're afraid of the consequences. You don't do it because you hate it. The reason you hate it is because you're no longer your own. You belong to the Lord. He's changing you. He's changed you. You're a new creation. Psalm 7:11-12. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword, he will bend his bow and make it ready. Whet his sword, that's W-H-E-T, it means to sharpen. Because God does have a sword. When Jesus comes back, what's he bringing back with him? He's bringing a sword. If he turn not, if he repents not, Kevin DeYoung, who is a pastor, a theologian, and an author, I'm not really familiar with him, but I do have a quote from him, says, every calamity, every tragedy, every disaster is, among other things, a divine invitation to repent. Years ago, Hurricane Katrina, Pat Robertson, enraged an awful lot of people because he said it was judgment on the United States because of the way we're living. And I believe it was. But oh no, God wouldn't do that to us. We're good. You know, we do a lot of good things. We're good people. Well, I don't think so. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 12:28-29, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I believe it was Paul. Who is he writing that to? Believers. It says, we receiving a kingdom. That's us. For our God is a consuming fire. But thankfully, our God is also a God of mercy. There has to be both. There has to be his justice, and there also has to be his mercy. The two balance each other. And like everything he does it perfectly. Regeneration. It's not just godly living. It's not just admitting that you have sinned. Ezekiel 11:19 says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of the flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." And again, Ezekiel 36:25-26, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." John 3:3 says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He cannot and he will not see the kingdom of God. He's unable to. How many do you suppose have prayed the sinner's prayer? Have vainly prayed it? Just recited it without any meaning, without any feeling, without just to avoid something. I've heard a lot of people recite that prayer when I was a chaplain in a jail. And some of them I knew they didn't really mean it. But yet I also knew there were some that heard what they were said and they went back into their cell. And they talked to God. And they received Him. Regeneration. I can never be president. Why? Because I was born in Canada. I used to joke and say, well, that's job discrimination. Discrimination in employment. But actually, it's right. It's the way it should be. I can never be president. Okay, instead of saying I'm from Canada, let's pretend that I'm from a South Sea island somewhere. And I go to apply for the job of president. You can't be president. Well, how about if I change my name and take an American name? Can I be president then? No, you can't. How about if I give up the way I dress? And dress like an American. Can I be president then? No, you can't. But if I change my language, I'll learn American. We say we speak English, but it's actually American, isn't it? Learn to speak the language. Can I be president then? No, you can't. My customs. I'll change my customs. I'll adopt American customs. I would have to be reborn as a natural-born citizen in order to be president of the United States. It's the same way. It's the same. Getting into heaven is the same thing. Because we have to be regenerated. We have to be born again. Because not only can't we go there, we can't even see it. Doesn't matter how likable I am. Doesn't matter what my intentions are. Doesn't matter what my talents or abilities are. Who my friends are. What kind of influence my family has or how much money I'm willing to spend. It can't be. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father but through me." If you aren't producing fruits worthy of repentance, what does that say about the state of your soul? If you aren't showing signs of regeneration, what does that say about your salvation? If someone despises worshiping and praising God, or being with His people and in His presence, reading or listening to His Word, would that person be happy in heaven? Think about it. The things we're going to love doing, the things we're going to
rejoice about doing. A worldly person wouldn't like. And God's created a different place for them. There's a man named Dante Alighieri. I may have mispronounced his name. I don't know. He was an Italian poet. And I read a book he wrote back when I was in high school. It was called Dante's Inferno. Of course, it was part of the Divine Comedy. There's three sections to it. But it talked about a person that in order to get to heaven, he had to go through hell. And the description he gave of hell was really pretty bad. In fact, I should have taken it more to heart when I read it. It was right there, and it's true. And I'm not even sure that he could really describe it the best way that, you know, any better. I don't know if he could conceive of what it is. Jesus said, or it says in 1 Corinthians, that we can't imagine the things that God has for us in heaven. Maybe the reverse is true. That hell is so bad that we can't even begin to imagine it. I had a vision once several years ago when I first came back to the Lord. And it wasn't a very long vision. It was just a vision of God. And the brightness, the purity, the whiteness. It was just amazing. It was indescribable. You remember those Tide commercials where it shows, you know, the white clothes, you know, in comparison? You know, you have to put the sunglasses on. It's kind of like that, only more so. When I was chaplain in the jail, the people used to wear white outfits. And they looked at me kind of funny when I said, when we get to heaven, we're going to be dressed in white. I said, oh, don't worry, it's going to be a lot brighter than what you're wearing. So pure. God is so pure. What would happen if he were to allow sin into heaven? What would happen to that purity? I'm amazed at God's grace. I'm amazed every day by his love and his patience that he showed with me, his long-suffering, everything he put up with. But, you know, he saw the end result. And I'm certainly not there yet. None of us are. But we need to keep working towards that, don't we? We need to take the things of God seriously. We need to think of his heart and his love. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love, for your gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for being here with us. And I pray, Lord, that you just stay with us. Abide in us, walk with us, and talk with us. And Lord, I pray that we would walk and talk with you. Help us to be everything you want us to be. And Lord, I pray that you'd go with us today as we go about our day and bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, everybody.